Welcome. So glad you're here. I am here to remind you that such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. We are a wonderful, accepting, loving, welcoming community of people who of like minds in the sense that we all honor one another and we honor the truth of who you are. This is a place where you are accepted, you are celebrated for your uniqueness. As a friend of mine always puts on his emails, you're unique just like everybody else. And you're special just like everybody else, and we're here to celebrate that with you and for you. So join me, if you will, in a brief opening treatment or opening prayer, affirmative prayer. There's one power, and only one power, there, and it is enough. It fills us, it surrounds us, it is all there is, and it is present with us, as us, right now in this celebration. It is here to recognize itself as us, and it is here for us to recognize it in each other. We move into this celebration with that in mind, and with a real deep sense of awe for who and what life is really all about. And in that place and in that knowing, I release this and let it be. And so it is. So I already told you who you are. We welcome, or did I? No, I don't think I did. You needed me to tell you who you are, though, and who you are is this. You are an expression of the divine. Whatever else you are, whatever personality you've assigned, whatever people have called you. I had an interchange this week with a friend about birth stories, and my one of my birth stories was that I got pulled out with forceps and my head was shaped really weird, so they called me Gourdhead for the first 7 or 8 years of my life. But that's not who I am. It's the name I was given. You have a lot of names you may have been given over the years, some of them positive, some of them not so positive, but the truth is, you're an expression of the divine. I met a wonderful woman last night, and I said, "Hi, who are you?" I was introducing myself, and she says, "I'm the divine." And that's all she would say. She wouldn't give me a name or anything, just, "I'm the divine." I thought, wow, that's who you are, that's who I am, that's who we all are. It's, if nothing else, we're here to be reminded of that and to know that. So I'd like to welcome you, if you're here for the first time especially. Be sure and hang around, ask questions, let us meet you. Find out whatever you want to know to have the possibility of coming back. And we always encourage folks to come a few times and see if this is really for you before you make a decision or a judgment about that. If you hear things that sound really weird, talk to us. They probably are. I mean, they aren't. And we'll help normalize them for you. This is a great teaching. It's an ancient teaching. And yet it's brought into a modern language and a modern way of thinking and looking and being and feeling that honors the truth everywhere, wherever we see it. So to continue this process, I invite you to join me in reading together what we believe. It's printed in your program. And if you choose to, I invite you to stand. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. So it is. Thank you and have a seat. So we continue this beginning of getting a better idea of ourselves and for ourselves, about ourselves, as well as about the world. And we do that by having one of our spiritual mind practitioners who are highly trained and highly honored in many ways to do this wonderful work. Judy Ailey is one of our practitioners that's been with us a long time, and here she comes. Thank you to share with you. Mm-hmm.
Is this on? There it is. Good. All right. Well, happy Labor Day weekend. There's a lot going on in the city. If you want to dress up wild, you can go down to Dragon Con. If you're a book nerd like I am, you can go to the Book Festival in Decatur. So something for everyone. Anyway, yesterday I did go to the Book Festival. It's like one of my favorite things all year long. And I wandered into this one session. I mean, what it is this many sessions going on of people that have written books, and they're kind of hawking their books. So this was a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, a woman. She seemed quite young, and she said that, you know, some of the things that she was encountering as a physician didn't quite add up. And I thought, this may be something that's interesting for me. And she started off with talking about a study that was done with rabbits. And there were, like, I think, four control groups, and they were controlling for diet and some various things. And I'm not a scientist, so. But anyway, they were controlling for everything. But the results of the study didn't come out as they expected. There was, like, no difference between the two groups where the diets were the same or where the diet was different. It was just nothing was adding up. And so what they finally figured out was that the only difference in the groups that were showing a different thing with the rabbits, and they were looking at the health of the rabbit's heart, like the valves being blocked or not blocked, was that one of the lab assistants happened to be this woman who was very loving with the rabbits. She petted them, she held them, she talked to them. And that was the group of the rabbits that showed the better health, that had the better heart valves. And the other rabbits were getting what they needed. They were getting their water and their food. The lab assistants were just doing that. But they weren't giving the rabbits all of this little extra love and attention. Oh, and so the woman extrapolated from that. There's been all these studies about how it's love, it's social connections, it's our relationships that are really, healing for us. And I thought, wow, of course, you know, this is spirit. And her whole thing was about small acts of kindness in the world can make such a huge difference. Just everywhere we are, there's opportunities for that constantly. And then the other thing she talked about that was also really interesting to me was the fact that two different people can come into her office with problems. And she said on paper, it looks really different. Like one person could have a list of 10 things wrong with them. It's pretty serious stuff. You know, diabetes, heart problem, you know, like a whole litany of stuff. The other person may only have two or three not very serious things. But when you see the people, it's reversed of what you think. The person with the long list, their life, they actually are doing okay. You know, their life is pretty good. And then the person with the short list, really struggling, really having poor health. And she said, you know, when you look behind it, it's really the quality of their lives, their connections, their relationships, that was the thing that was different in the two people. So I thought, of course it's consciousness. We all know that in this teaching. But it's also love and connections. So I thought it was really interesting that science and spirituality really are more and more coming together. And that's one of the promises of this teaching. So, anyway, go to the book festival, especially if you like books. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I have a brief reading from the Science of Mind textbook, and this was one of the readings from this week. We just had a fabulous discussion down the hall, and it was around hummingbirds, which was really interesting. But we'll let Tracy talk more about that sometime. Here it is. This is under a section called Mental Expression. It says, as our thought is opened and we behold the image of eternity within ourselves, we are changed by this image into a newness of life. This is accomplished by the Spirit of God. We are already inlets, but we must consciously become outlets. And this change in the outer is brought about by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God being the one and only presence in the universe, brings about events and remolds conditions after its own likeness. So with that, I would like to lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. I hope that you will accept this for yourself as I do it in the first person for myself and for all of us here. All right. Just allow yourself to relax for a minute and to breathe and to bring your attention to this precious moment, this moment of creation, this moment of awareness of the truth of who we are. And that truth is that there is only one. It is only one, and it is good. It is the presence of spirit. It is the energy of life itself, and it permeates everything, everyone, every situation. We are created. I am created out of this goodness. I am created by this goodness. Therefore, I know that I am one with the attributes of it. I know that I am this eternal peace. I am this eternal goodness. I am functioning in a world of infinite possibility, of divine opulence, of vibrant health and aliveness, that every part of me permeates and vibrates with this wholeness and with this goodness. So I just absorb that. I let that eternal presence that is within me be the truth of who I am. I take a minute to just absorb that and to know it and to sense it and to know that it's immediate and it's right here, right now for me. It makes all things new. I know that as I change my thinking and change my beliefs and my expectations in my inner self, that this becomes reflected in my outer world. So I take time today and every day to know the truth of myself as peace, as love, as beauty, as enjoyment, as purpose, as meaning. I turn away from any ideas of fear or worry or self-doubt or that those old feelings inside of just not being good enough. I just let go of all that stuff and instead know that I am made in the image and likeness of this spirit to express life fully and beautifully in every way, with love, with peace, and with joy. I share this in my world. I see opportunities everywhere, and I take advantage of them to let this presence express as me. This is a truth. I'm so grateful for being here and for this moment. So I release this now, knowing that it is so, and so it is.
Is everybody else feeling kind of mellow? I do. I led the meditation this morning, and I'm just like still there, so forgive me a bit. No, it's all good. But I'm hoping you're mellow and not just sad. Because everybody looks kind of like I'm feeling on the inside. Not sad, just mellow. You know, peace is a quality of God that we all carry in us and we all have, so why not? It doesn't always have to be razzle-dazzle jumping around. I am just back from SOAR out of Sylmar, S-O-A-R, and after a week on the California coast and listening to music that rattles your teeth every song. We have these deep, wonderful talks and tooth-rattling music in between. So I'm like, it's nice to have a little calmer moment here. So I'm just kind of enjoying that calm. And it was a wonderful conference, by the way. Sylmar is our place that our organization has gathered every summer since our beginning, back in the 40s, and all through the 50s, and until about 8 years ago, where we started moving the conference to different places for a variety of reasons. But now, occasionally, we go back to Sylmar, which is this wonderful refuge by the sea, is what the name means, conference center, right on the coast in Monterey, Pacific Grove. Next year, if it's back there or wherever it is, I want to encourage you guys to get involved and come see it, because it is an amazing experience to be reminded of the depth and variety of this teaching and of where we are and where it goes. So our theme for this month is the simple teaching. The simple teaching which Ernest Holmes, our founder, delivered as part of one of his final talks that he did at Asilomar called The Sermon by the Sea. And he, in that he said that that simple teaching is the teaching that his hope is we would stick with, we would stay with, and that we would not let ourselves get distracted by other teachings and other distractions or distortions or complications, but that we stay with the very simple teachings that we have. As he went on to talk about what those are. And the one I guess I would focus on first that he mentions is it's the simple teaching that God is all there is. There's one energy, one spirit, one life. We talk about it all the time. So it is everything. Everything that exists is created in that. If you go back to science, science is more and more proving that. Everything comes out of a universal field of energy and information. And that universal field takes shape and form as matter, as energy, and then as matter, energy slowed down becomes matter. And energy locked into relationship becomes molecules and matter and form and shape. So there's a sense in which even the most solid of objects is really mostly empty space. Even the most solid of appearances is all connected and forming out of this one universal field. Holmes talked about it as God, as spirit, as life, as infinite intelligence. But that means the chair you're sitting in is spirit. It means the thing holding you up. It means that gorgeous makeup you put on this morning is spirit. Makes it okay, doesn't it? It means that everything we touch, taste, feel, and see and know is this one energetic power. And when you become aware of that, you can begin to draw from that. Because it's like spirit, God, life is all around us all the time saying, here, here I am, here I am, here I am. I'm supporting you. I'm holding you up. You don't have to lay down on the ground to listen to this guy or stand up the whole time like some churches used to do. But you get comfort in place. And we get covered up, which is a good thing most of the time. You know, so all that is, all that ever is around us is spirit, and we draw from that. It's a simple teaching. Now, that's not necessarily easy, and it's not that it isn't somewhat complex in terms of making it actionable, but the concepts are really simple. Further down in that talk, Holmes said a series of things. Find me a person. He said a man, but I'm going to say a person. Who? And then fills in the blank. And that's what I want to begin to talk about today. This whole series through this month is bringing you these find me a person. So we're going to find some people in September. We looked at awakening to your call and reimagining it and getting clearer about why we're on the planet and what we're here for last month. This month we're going to get more into let's find these people that Ernest Holmes said he was looking for. And the first one today is, find me one person who no longer has any fear of the universe or of God or of man or of anything else, and who will have brought to me someone in whose presence we may sit, and fear shall vanish as clouds before the sunlight. Find me one person who has freed themselves completely of fear, and they will contagion fear for everyone that comes into their presence. Sounds like a big order. We live in a world today where we're bombarded with all kinds of reasons to fear. You know, we should be afraid. We should be afraid of the air. We should be afraid of the water. We should be afraid of most of the food we eat, because whether it's good food or not, it's got something bad in it, right? We should be afraid of our partners because they may not be telling us what we think they are. We should be afraid of the person next door because they are the other. We should be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Maybe even of the hummingbirds. I don't know. I've never quite been afraid of a hummingbird, but the condor is, but that's a different story. Afraid, afraid, afraid. See, and all of that stuff, all of that fear, has been dubbed as false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Evidence of what? What's the false evidence that your fear is stirring up? What's the false evidence that your fear is based on? And I would propose, and many other people do, that false evidence is the idea that that chair appears to be solid that you're sitting in. The false evidence that would appear that I appear to be separate from you. The false evidence is someone who's a different color or a different nationality or a different religion or a different idea of life is a threat. That's false evidence. As if all these things that we see and hear and are bombarded with are the truth. That's the false evidence. The truth is, all of our fear comes from one place and only one place. And that is the belief that we are separate from God, that we are separate from spirit. I know for some people, God is not a good word. I don't mean God, the old grandpa up there. I mean this energy that we live in that moves and breathes us and lives us, and we live in it. That idea of spirit, that idea of life, the idea that we are in some way separate from it or separate from its goodness or separate from its power or from its support or from its love. All of our fear comes out of that. I dare you to find a fear that doesn't come from that place. You can email me about it. Don't tell me now. Think about it. You know, that's the one thing that gets us going, is that belief that somehow we're separate. We're getting older, so we're not connected as well with energy and life, and therefore we are somehow should be afraid of that. I'm not afraid of getting older. I watched too many of my young friends 30 years ago leave the planet. They didn't get older. I don't want that option. I'm not afraid of those things because they are simply a matter of progression of life and maturity and knowledge and greater living that is mine. See, we get afraid of all kinds of things. We're afraid of poverty. We're afraid of not succeeding. We're afraid of succeeding. Afraid of failure. Afraid of the government. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I suspect at some point in our lives, most of us have had some fear of the government. Some fear of them, whoever them is. Some fear of the banking system. That's a new popular fear. To be afraid of those people, they're keeping us poor. Afraid of all sorts, or afraid of, you know, name it, you name it, you name it. And then what happens is, if we're not careful, this false evidence appearing real and our fear kind of leads to us feeling like victims of all of that. And then what do victims do? Yeah. And we multiply that and multiply that in our belief system, and we start to believe it, and then sure enough, somebody shows up and says, "You believe in being a victim? Here, I'll help you." Spirit's always saying yes to our belief system. So that belief is like, attracts all that stuff. And then what happens is, so often, victim consciousness does two things. It looks for somewhere to blame, and it looks for a savior. Oh, the saviors we seek. The right political candidate will save us from the fear of our government. And I'm saying right, depending on whichever side of the world you're on. I'm not choosing sides. I don't take sides in that stuff. We seek saviors in, Mr. Right or Ms. Right. Or the knight in shining armor on the white horse that's going to rescue us. My life would just be better if I was in a relationship. I want to drag all of this mess and give it to somebody else to take care of. Because I don't know how to do it by myself. Or I'm in this relationship. Oh, my life would be so much better if I wasn't. Because it's all her fault or his fault. Right? You with me? Am I making sense? So all of that nonsense has us looking for a savior. See, we get convinced by the world that we are powerless and we must have help. Buy the right product, get the right exercise program, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm here to tell you there is a savior for you. It's not me, don't worry. You're very fortunate. See, the savior for you is you. The savior for you is alive and well within you. It is that part of you that is alive and untouched by any of the nonsense that comes at you. It's the part of you that is never, ever harmed or hurt by any of the harms and hurts. It's the part of you that underneath, behind it all, knows that you don't need all that stuff you're told you need. Sometimes you have to accumulate a whole lot of it to figure that out. Nothing wrong with that. We learn the way we learn. You don't need, you don't lack, you aren't missing anything. Because that there is that Savior within you that knows better. It is what we mean when we say there's a power within us, that God is within us, that Spirit is within us, that life is within us, and the answers to all of our questions are within us. Now, that does not mean we have to find them in isolation. It does not mean I can't ask someone else's opinion or get engaged in a conversation with another person in a loving, powerful way that allows me to awaken within me the alive and the Savior that is there. Not at all. We need each other to access those parts of ourselves. We are not born in isolation. We come from relationship. We live in a relationship. We go out of here in a relationship. And that relationship often is where we get to get in touch with. You know, and if you're in a committed relationship, you know this is also the place where you learn what all your stuff is that needs to still be looked at, right? It's part of why we get together, I think, to figure all that out. So you're your own savior. And what was beautiful about, and Ernest Holmes talks about in the Sermon on the Sea, that what is really powerful here is that this is the same message that's come through Christianity. Jesus talked about it. The Father's given you the kingdom. Why don't you take it? That was his basic message. We don't receive. We don't accept. Because we're so caught in the idea that we can't have, and we shouldn't have, and we aren't, that we push it all, we push it away. It's the message that is in Hinduism, Buddhism, all the way through. You will find it repeated in different ways in different places. So what? So, okay, so I have the Savior in me. Great. So, you know, big deal. So I still get up in the morning and look at the same old face in the mirror. I still, you know, deal with the same old aches and pains. So what that I have a Savior inside of me? So what that my Savior is me? Because oftentimes that point is where we suddenly lose our belief in our own power to access that. And the access is very simple, but not always easy. Change your thinking, change your life. Just affirming that there is something within me that knows better activates that something within you that knows better. When someone asks you a question, you go, I don't know. It used to be my favorite answer simply so I wouldn't have to answer. I knew. I had opinions. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't leave me alone. not anymore. Ask me a question, I'll tell you what I think. Or I'll say, I'm not certain, but something in me knows, and it's revealing that message to me right now in this moment. And as soon as I say that to myself, something is activated within me as it can be activated within you to bring forward whatever answer it is you're looking for. And you'll know when it is because you'll feel it. You'll get some God bumps, or you'll get a surge of energy, or you'll get a feeling in yourself of, oh yeah. Or even sometimes just a peaceful sense of, uh-huh, that's it. That's where I should go. That's what I should do. That's right. I'm not powerless. Here's where I can exercise power in this situation. Or here's where I can be who I truly am in this situation. Doesn't mean they'll all agree. It means though you get to choose. And you get to choose to operate from that place of greater knowing and greater power and greater truth that is within you and always right there available, as close as the chair you're sitting in, as the heart that's beating in your chest, as the energy of the thoughts moving through your mind. It's there, right there all the time. So how do you get from that place of fear to fearlessness? Well, first of all, you have to look at what your beliefs are. What do you believe about God? Is God something to be afraid of? In the name of God, some awfully horrible things have been done in this world. I couldn't even sit in a room where anyone named God as God for a long, long, long time. Now that I have a different definition of it and mean something different, I can. But I also know that when I speak it, people often hear that other definition and go, ah, get me out of here. But how do we change that definition? You change the definition by replacing it with a better one. You change a crazy idea by replacing it with a more sane idea. You know, if you just try to get rid of it, then you leave a vacuum. And we all know what happens when that happens. If you don't put something in its place, the world will, your relatives will, or your neighbors will, or the TV, or whatever you have to be looking at. So we replace it. It's like that old thing, you know, don't think about a pink elephant. Everybody thought of a pink elephant, right? Can't not think about a pink elephant if somebody says, don't think about a pink elephant. Just like telling the two-year-old, don't touch that counter or that hot stove. And if they haven't experienced it yet, that's like saying, touch the hot stove, please, touch it. Right? What you do, to not think about the pink elephant, think about a gray elephant or a striped elephant. You think about something else. You shift away from the nonsense into the sense, into the truth, into knowing a truth based on the idea that there's one power and it is in me, as me, right now, in this moment, always. So if I want to overcome fear, here's a real simple and powerful process. Everybody likes to have a process. People like to have something to take notes about, so get out your pens and pencils. Here's what you do. You imagine the worst, and you just imagine it as if it was already done. Because it's already there bugging you. It's not like you're not thinking it anyway. So you might as well give yourself permission to go ahead and wallow in it for about 30 seconds. Get right down in it and imagine what is the worst thing that could possibly happen here, so that you feel it, so that you're aware completely of what that idea is that's inside of you. Don't stay there. If you stop there, then you've misquoted me. Instead, then, as soon as you get to that point of clarity about what is that nonsense, go quickly to what you imagine to be the very best outcome possible to that situation, person, place, or thing. Instead of, what is the opposite of that imagined horror? I'm going to be whatever that is. Take that to the nth degree. Take it and imagine it as if it's already done and complete and accomplished. That's what the universe is saying yes to, is that positive imaginative. So imagine it, think about it. Feel it, taste it, smell it, touch it. Know that you're already in it, in consciousness. And then give it a name. Give it a name of the highest quality you can think of the infinite. The infinite has lots of qualities that we express it as. Peace, love, harmony. What else? Joy. Light. Life. Connection. Name it as whichever one of those words that it actually is for you. Power. And when you get that and you get a real sense of that, look back at that nonsense you were doing where you really imagined it and recognize and decide, what is the false belief in there? Am I believing I'm a victim? Am I believing I'm being attacked? Am I believing I'm a terrible person? Am I believing something my grandma told me when I was way back when that isn't the truth to me now? Am I believing that something out there is going to get me? Am I believing that I'm going to get something out there that might do harm to someone? I mean, whatever it might be. And get clear about the false belief, because once you recognize it as false, it's false. And you can let it go. And then when you have that clear idea of what isn't and what that false belief is, claim again about 100 times the true belief instead. The false belief is I'm a victim. The true belief is I am an expression of the infinite. There's no victim here. Might be victor, but even victor implies that I'm over something. I'm not a victor over anything. I'm thriving. I'm living a life of alive that isn't in relationship or reaction to what anyone else has said or any negative ideas I used to have. Instead, I'm standing fully in the positive of what I am, who I am right now, today. I'm claiming myself as an expression of the infinite. Take that. And then trust it. As you stand on that, you will become more and more and more fearless. So, Ernest Holmes asks, find me a person who is fearless. Well, the obvious question is, excuse me, sir, where do we go look? Right here. Right there. The person who is fearless regarding financial freedom is sitting right in that seat where you are. She is all power and all knowing and all awareness. The person who is clearly free of any fear around harm being done to them or to anyone else, he's sitting right where you are, right in your own body, right in your own place. Every one of these characters is right there inside of you. The person we are trying to find is in ourselves, not anywhere else. That's why we're not looking for a savior out there somewhere. But we're looking for that fearless part of us. And believe me, you've got to be fearless. You're already fearless. You came out in the traffic in Atlanta this morning. That takes some fearlessness. Hurl down the highway at 80 miles an hour along with everybody else and having no idea whether anybody else is paying attention or not. That's fearless. And it's not being fearful that maybe they aren't. It's just knowing that you're fine and you're going to fly right in here. I think I just admitted I'm a speeder. Okay. Fearless. That's what you are. It's alive and well and present. Inside yourself. And the reason you can only look inside of yourself is because that's where your only area of sovereignty lies. You are, in terms of sovereignty, that is the one area you have sovereignty over. Sorry, couples, you don't have any sovereignty over your partner. If you hadn't figured that out by now, we got programs for that. You know? You don't have any sovereignty over your job. You don't have any sovereignty over those people that work around you. You don't have any sovereignty over any of that. But you have sovereignty over yourself. And finding those beings and those parts of you that are already fully transformed and expressing the God that you are, the spirit that is expressing itself as you. That's what's there. He's there. She's there. It's there. They're all there. Just go looking for them. Don't give up till you find them. It is a lifelong journey. It is a lifelong search, and it is worth every moment and every bit of time it takes. I encourage you to consider it. I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to step into that life because it's the best. And you deserve it because you're the best. And so am I. So it is. Thank you. Okay, so let's take a few moments and go within. Very brief reaching within us for the truth. Because it's not far, it's just, you know, the brain's only 6 inches across, so it's not like you're reaching deep. It's just about, you know, the length of a finger. It's right there. There is within me. I now claim and accept and access that part of me that knows the answers. I access that part of me that is fully present and available for my expression and for the expression of the best possible life for myself and all of those I touch. I choose faith. I choose love. And fear simply dissolves and disappears into the nothingness from which it came. For the somethingness in me is power, life, love, goodness of every kind, and rich expression. And I, by action of this treatment in this moment, contagion, fearlessness, contagion, love, contagion, goodness, contagion, life. This is my truth. I accept and embrace it. I let it be. I let it be so. And so it is. Okay, here's your chance to contagion prosperity by shifting the idea that we can only receive to be prosperous. We give and receive to be prosperous. There's a flow, there's a circulation. I invite you to give to the center, to give so that we grow and continue to thrive here, and to also so that you grow and continue to thrive in your own prosperity and your own personal your own personal valuing and personal value. Who has a birthday in September? All right, who, we have an usher. Would you come grab the roses? And anybody with a birthday in September, stand up. If you don't mind admitting you have birthdays. I think it's the only legitimate science of mind holiday, frankly, because it's when we come to this form of existence. So, happy birthday! Yes, thank you. So, if you wish you had a birthday in September, I also have a birthday in September, but I'll get mine afterwards. Take a flower. Just leave me one. Thank you. And this is the beginning of a new thing we're going to do every month. First Sunday of the month, we're going to do birthdays. So if we don't know your birthday, that's okay. Stand up. Let us know. But if we know your birthday and I have it in the database, if you put it there, you don't need your year, you know, as interesting as that might be, we don't need your year. On the week of your birthday, I will do treatment for you every morning that week for your highest and greatest good. So if I have your birthday, I'll do that. I'll send you a card to let you know, and you will begin to feel that treatment, believe me. And then if you have something specific for me to treat for during that week, also let me know ahead of time, and I'll do that. Otherwise, it's for your general good, your highest and greatest good, knowing that it will unfold even greater than it already does. So that's a new program we're starting today, and the roses are out front. Yes, yes, good. Okay. Now, announcements. Also starting today, which was not planned or announced, just because I got inspired this morning, we're going to take today's talk into what is called a fear-to-faith process. And you, some of you, many of you have done this with me before. If you want to stick around after the service, probably starting about 12:15 in one of the rooms down here, we'll take about 45 minutes to take you through the fear-to-faith process. If you have a particular thing that's just nagging at you that you want to transform and get rid of and be done with, that's the place to do it. I invite you to, it's not the only way to do it, but it's a way to do it. And I'll be taking folks through that. There's no charge. You can put, you know, do something later as you find relief. So join me if you'd like to in the library. And we will do that after this service is over. Now, coming up beyond that, we've got starting on the 10th of September, the class called The Essential Earnest. Now, that sounds really heady and like, why would I even take a class by that name? Well, first of all, you'll learn all about Ernest Holmes and what he believed. But secondly, and is equally important, is you learn how to put these principles to work in your life on a day-to-day, regular basis to get out of this place of victimhood and unhappiness and fear into a place of faith and joy and love and a greater living. And it addresses specifically individual issues. So we have two times a day in the morning from 10 to 12 on Tuesday, the 10th. That's when it starts. That happens at our office at 500 Bishop Street. And then in the evening from 7 to 9, and that will happen online. We have a whole process. We did a class this way the last time we taught class, and it went very well. People found it to be very important and helpful. I know it doesn't sound kind of like, what, not being in the same room? Yeah, but you get to do it in your living room in your pajamas. And as long as you dress from here up, I don't care what you're wearing. So the idea, though, is in that online experience where you're also seeing everyone in the class and interacting with them, we can create a really tight sense of connection and community while we're doing it online. I've been doing this for years. I know it sounds crazy, perhaps, if you've never done it, but it really does happen. So if you're interested at all in this class, it's for 10 weeks. It's $170. Be sure and register. Either sign up on the list in the lobby or online. You can sign up and pay for it online if you like. You can also bring a check the first time. If you're doing this online, you need to send a check or pay online, whatever, you know, whichever way you want to do it. If you have friends around the country that you think could use a good class in this teaching, this class is available anywhere in the universe that gets the internet. When I've done these at other times in the past, I've had people from all over the world. So if you know someone that might be interested in getting this class, it is a certificated class in that it is has credit toward becoming a practitioner. It's one of the requirements for entering practitioner training that you have this particular class. So pass the word. Let's fill it up. It would be really nice to have about 30, 35 people in that class, especially in the evening. So that's that. You know about it. Okay. Next week, following the celebration, will be our first Sunday coffee. Now, I know today's the first Sunday, but we thought with Labor Day, let's wait till next Sunday and declare it the first Sunday in September. And we'll have coffee and an opportunity to meet. There are a number of you who are here all the time that I still haven't really met and connected enough to be sure I know your name. So I want to be doing that next week. Help me with that. I mean, walk up to me, get my attention, smack me on the head, whatever it takes, and let's connect and let's get to know each other. We did birthdays. So a lot of thank yous. I want to thank all of our volunteers. I especially want to thank today our children's, our youth and teen program volunteers. We have that they are here every week. They are taking care of our kids. They're not just taking care of them, they are teaching them. This morning, a four-year-old who came last week for the first time, I was told, reported to his parents he wanted to come back and lay on the mat and breathe in God, because they do that. They do a meditation process where they breathe in God. Imagine if you'd learned that when you were four, and maybe some of you did. But it's a rich, wonderful program. Thank you to those who are doing it. They're not in here to hear me, but they'll hear me later because I'll say it to them. But you thank them as well. And if you know children that could benefit from this, bring them. Only if you're allowed to and they're yours. Okay. I want to also thank all of our volunteers. I want to thank all of our contributors. Everyone who's contributing to this place in any way, time, talent, or treasure, thank you. Because you are keeping us alive here. You're keeping this program here. Science of Mind in this shape and form, it's going to be in Midtown. It's going to be here. It's going to keep being here. No question about that. Just what building? So keep coming back, keep supporting it, and it'll be right here where you can find it, where you'll know where it is from now on. So you're a generous community, and I'm really grateful for that. I want to thank our practitioners who are available to you to help you change your life. Would you stand, practitioners who are in the room? Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And I don't know if all of you know Maya. You'll get to meet her next week. She has been our missionary in Kuwait. She's now back in the States for a while, so she'll be on the stage next week, and you'll get to experience her. Wonderful consciousness. So glad she's here. Also want to introduce really quickly Michael, who's back there. You can always find Michael because he's the tallest guy in the room, and he is our new administrative assistant. So if you need particular detail stuff done, ask him. Don't ask me, because I forget. He's got a sharp mind. So if you want to make sure we have your birthday, he's the guy to ask, because he's going to be helping me keep up with all that. So his primary job is to make me look good. And so far, he's doing really well with that. So welcome aboard, Michael. Glad to have you. I think that's it. Did I make it? Yes! Right on time. Hot diggity. All right. So how about we close this wonderful thing?